Well, as is our custom, we have an exhortation, and we'll call upon our Brother Mac to deliver that for us. Brother Mac.
Good morning, everyone. I have heard the voice of Jesus, and because of it, he has chosen me to be his friend. And it is only by the mercy and the grace of God that I stand before you this day. For one purpose alone, not is that I might feed my ego or look for the praise of man. The only reason I stand here is because I have accepted to be a servant of the Lord God. And I want to help each one of you with myself to find the kingdom of God. One day to hear the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Rest in the house of my God for eternity. That is my purpose for being here this morning, my brethren, and I thank God for it. It was only a short walk. It was only a short walk, but it could have been one of tragedy. At the early age of a young boy, there was a seed growing in his heart. He had no desire for the polluted streets of the city in which he lived in. And as soon as school was out, he with his friend who lived next door would seek the outer perimeter of his city. They would go into the hills and go into the fields. They would wander along the sides of the quarries that are now filled with water. That was their life. They desired a better life than the one that seemed to be present and would fill the city in which he was a part of. And on one particular afternoon, very early in the afternoon, one of those English pea soup fogs moved in quickly, more than normal. These two boys were suddenly lost. They walked round and round and they didn't know where they were going. There was no voice to tell them to follow them this way or go that way. They were lost. Their hearts beat with fear. And they wondered what would be the outcome. And then suddenly they heard a voice which they recognized. And they walked towards that voice, and when they broke through the wall of the fog, there was the village, there was the local policeman with all the neighbors. And more so, a voice, a loving voice, they recognized those of their mothers. They had heard the voice. They had come out of the fog. And now they would live another day. Brothers and sisters, we all have been in that situation spiritually. We have all taken up a journey. We have all walked with Jesus. But we have also many times, speaking for myself, lost in the fog of life. So it is this, as we remember at this time, when we go into the study of the Gospel of John, we will see that we are not alone, that many of the characters that make up the Gospel of John were also have had that experience. They have walked with Jesus, they've abided with Jesus, but they've also from time to time had this desire or the weakness of the flesh, and they moved into areas which they should not be into, and they're lost in the fog. This book, the Holy Scriptures, contains, in the Gospel of John, a picture gallery. And that's the way I always look at this Gospel of John. This was written by a man who loved Jesus. He leaned upon Jesus. He followed Jesus. Jesus recognized him as one of his closest friends. So the Gospel of John is, as we say, a gallery of portraits. And when we go from chapter 1 to the end, that's what we're doing. We're walking around the walls of this garden, we're looking at different pictures. And when we look at these pictures, the main character of the picture, the maker of it, is Jesus the Christ. You can't miss him. He fills the picture. He is complete. But if we look a little closer, and move forward, we will see there is someone else that you recognize. It is you, and it is me. So when we commence this walk around the gallery of the picture that John so beautifully portrayed, we remember that at the beginning we are told there was a voice that came out of the prophets. And the voice of the prophets was carried upon the winds of prophecy, and the voice said that the Messiah will come. And it will be preceded by one who would set the path for him. And that was, as we know, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, as we remember, told the people, there is one coming greater than I. There is one who you have been looking for years. And we as young people, those who make up the youth class, those who make up the Sunday school, that's what they're really looking for. They enjoy the company of one another, but they're looking for someone who can lead them, who can tell them how to deal with their youthful days. In these days, our young people have not many people to lean upon and guide them out of the fog of the situation of the world into a new and a better world. To climb the mountains, to be with their God, to walk the fields, to be with the shepherd. This is it. And so this happens, and what I want you to do now is to walk with me around this gallery of pictures. So open your Bibles to John, Gospel of John, and walk with me, and we'll see what is happening. And if you don't want to open your Bibles, then at least look at the pictures as they're painted for you. So we go into John chapter 1, and there we have the presence of John the Baptist, and people I've recognized that this John, who, as we know, was the voice crying in the wilderness, they recognized him as a very important prophet and a man of God. And they were hoping that he could direct them and tell them how soon this Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Israel, would come. And they went to John and said, John, when's he coming? We have heard him say from the beginning of the prophets that he's coming. He's coming to restore the kingdom to Israel. Where is he? And so we read in John chapter 1 and at verse 35 this. Again the next day, and this is the picture that we are standing before at this time. And we're looking at it in this way when it says, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And instantly would rush into their minds now the fulfillment of many things and their hope was. There's gotten to be a better way of living. And the two disciples that were following him, Andrew and John, the two disciples heard him speak. This is the first time that they heard the voice of Jesus. This is the first time they heard the voice of Jesus, who is the Son of God. Can you imagine that, to hear the voice of the great Creator, the Almighty God of Israel? What more could we demand? And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned. Well, we see the movement in the picture. Jesus turned and saw them follow and said to them, What are you seeking? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? They don't ask who you are, because the power of the voice of John the Baptist has convinced them that this is the God, the Lamb of God. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy. They don't ask that. But they said, now we recognized you. Now you're with us. Where do you abode? We want to dwell with you. We want to walk with you. We want to hear your voice more. Where dwellest thou, Jesus, or Master? And he says unto them, well, why don't you come and see? And that could be the appeal. There should be appeal of our world today. You want a better way of life? Well, why don't you come and see where there is one? Come to Jesus. Listen to his voice. Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, master, where dwelleth thou? He said, why don't you come and see? They came and they saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And that's the way it was. They had a desire to abide with Jesus. And there you'd think, having this beautiful company, they would want to stay with him at all times. But there was a certain time, they got lost in the fog of this life, the activity of the life, the attractions of this life. And so once they found him, we thought they would walk with him forever. When they heard the voice of Jesus, for a moment there, they realize, as our brother read that psalm, when it says the mercy of God is higher than the mountains, or higher than the heavens. And this is what had happened to these men and women, these men especially. And they would remember another psalm in Psalm 46, when it says, you have opened the ears. Thou hast opened my ears. You have dug out the wax and the unnecessary stuff and all the problems with it. And you now hear clearly the voice of Jesus the Christ. And yet we realize, brethren, that each one of us, when we are baptized, we go forward and proclaim that we will never leave Jesus. Why would you leave the friendship of Jesus the Christ for all the fantasies and things of this life? And we would say no. And when I was baptized, I vowed then in a junior type of attitude, and I said, Lord, I will never leave you. I regret those words to this day, because I look back on my life and I say, Brother Mac, not very often you walked with your Lord and your Master. You were found walking in other areas and you were the fog. The story can go on, and I will tell you that is the reason, one of the reasons that I'm here in this country, because my Lord heard the voice of pleading for assistance. And he directed my path and brought me to the mercy of God was unlimited in that way, and I thank him for it. And so the apostle said, Lord, we will abide with you forever. We just love it. We know how great they are. We know the promise he brings with it. And Jesus said, yes, my brethren, but I'm a little concerned, as he is for each one of us each day. He was concerned that will you cling to me as one who loves me? And that's what Jesus said on one occasion. If you will love me, then you will be my friends. And I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. And so we remember, do we not, that he constantly, in his teaching to these, he kept appealing to them. You wouldn't think it would be necessary, would? But Jesus had to constantly say, my brethren, come around here. Don't leave me. I sense within your thoughts and your mind that you have other attractions and you're motivated and you question me. You question me whether I am the Messiah. Your thoughts are faulty. They're foggy. And so I think through this, we could walk through around the gallery and we could see time and again when there is a picture of Jesus and he puts his hand on Peter and he puts his hand on Thomas and he said, think differently, my brother, stay with me. And so we have one occasion, beautiful, in John chapter 15. We remember that beautiful picture. We're now moving around the gallery. The picture there, and the beautiful picture on the wall, and the vines hanging from the entrance to the temple of God. And he says with this, in this way, he says, he pleaded with them. Imagine that Jesus Christ has to appeal, to plead to stay with him, this Son of God, this King of Kings, the one who will rule the world one day, and you will share his kingdom with him. But he said, my brethren, listen to me. Abide in me. Remember, they've been into the house with Jesus. They wanted to abide with him. And he said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide me. Abide with me. Abide with me. Keep hammering this word home. I was going to have the hymn, Abide With Me, this morning, because it's one of my favorites. The sisters I had here on one occasion, when I gave an exhortation, and I asked the presiding brother to let us sing Abide With Me. A sister said afterwards, you shouldn't have had that, Brother Mac. I said, why? She said, it's an evening hymn. I said, yeah, so okay. Brother Mac always does things which he shouldn't be doing. So he had Abide With Me on a Sunday morning. And I think most people enjoyed it. So Jesus continues this way, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Abide with me, as Jesus appeals unto them. And we know the tragedy, don't we? They were only going for a short walk with their friend Jesus, but we know the tragedy because many of them got lost in the fog. And so remember more than once in John chapter 6, I remember, and at 6 and 66, Jesus says, will you leave me? Will you go away from me? I think it's recorded in chapter 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back. They never held the hand of Jesus and walked forward. They went back. They were going back into the fog. They would go round and round and never get anywhere. And this is what Jesus says to him. And I believe it's only recorded once. I believe that it said that Jesus wept. But I don't think that's a true picture. I think Jesus would have cried on this occasion when he said many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They walked no more with him. And Jesus said unto them, and the picture is clear for you. And if you look a little closer, you will see that you and me are in that picture. And Jesus says, reaching to them. He said what? He said, will you also go away from me? Will you also leave the most precious thing that can be given to you and allow it to fall into the dust of the ground? Will you do this? You not alone hurt yourself, but you hurt me because I am your Savior. So it is that we are moving around the wall of the gallery, and that there's one that we get to, and that's, it always seems to be that Jesus is always walking up to Jerusalem. He's always going up to Jerusalem. And we should always be going up to Jerusalem. That is our direction. If we're always walking up to Jerusalem, we're not going to get lost in the fog of this life because it's a straight and a narrow path that's being preserved for the sons and daughters of God to go up to Jerusalem. And so when we get into John chapter 2, we're still in that area, we'll come across a picture that is not very pleasant to look upon. Most of you may be familiar with the scene already, but you remember that and the picture is in John 2, and I'm sure you've turned to it already, and being faithful listeners. And so it says in verse 13 of chapter 2, the Jews' Passover was at hand. Jesus went up to Jerusalem, always going up to Jerusalem. And when he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers and the money city, this was his father's house. This was his father's house. And they had polluted it. They had polluted to the extent that Jesus' voice rose more and on a high level that no one had ever heard before. This voice of Jesus literally rocked the house of God. For he said, you have made my father's house a house of dens and of thieves. And you have never seen Jesus like this. Jesus was the shepherd of the flock. Jesus was the lamb. But here he is now a mighty defender of the things of his father, of the house of God. And the Bible tells us in another translation that the fever of love for his father's house grew louder and louder. And the people who perceived therein, they trembled at the voice of this man. Jesus had been appointed by his father to be the custodian of his house. And we are called upon to be custodians of his house. We have to make ready for it so that when Jesus comes, then he will see that it is ready and he will be willing to abide with us. And this is the way it does. And when we walked around the art gallery, the Tate Art Gallery in London, we noticed the progress of pictures. And the best were saved to the end. There was Gainsborough and all the great pictures of the artists of our century portrayed there. Staggering, they stood out, they were alive. And this is the way it is with the pictures that we're talking about at this time. For in John chapter 5, there is this picture upon the wall that is, I've always been impressed by. I've been the situation when we were in Israel, we were in that location here. But it brought to my mind this beautiful thing that I recognize my Jesus. I recognize my Jesus as one who was a savior. I recognize my Jesus as the one who wanted to help people and make life easy for them that they might find the kingdom. I saw my Jesus as one who was willing to reach out and touch the hand of those who lived with pain. I saw my Jesus as one who would literally take hold of a person who had fallen and lift them up. I saw my Jesus as one who had a quiet voice that would heal and comfort and bring peace to the individual. And so it is recorded in John chapter 5, as most of us know. He's going up to Jerusalem again. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches, the number, the representative of grace in the Bible, symbolic of grace of the God, and the fullness of God's grace is shown in this event at this time. And we all know the story. The young ones here know it. They tell it to us. And as we know, there were these pools and there were all these people with different problems in life, just as we have sitting in our congregation today. The different problems that had the pain and all suffering and everything else, disturbed minds. And this man from Nazareth with a seamless garment, a robe, came into their presence, into their lives. Came into their lives, and there was a man there who was having the difficulties of life because there were the obstructions of life. And Jesus saw him, and Jesus recognized him, and Jesus knew that this man was lost. And he came to the man, he said, why don't you walk? Why don't you go down into the waters if you believe that they can heal you? And the man said in verse 7, sir, Jesus, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another step is down before me. He had this, he didn't have anybody to help him. And there's sometimes people in the ecclesia that they don't have anybody to help them. And it's a tragedy. But if you turn to God and turn to Jesus, they will help you. And Jesus said unto him, don't go down the waters. I am the water of life. Drink of me fearfully and you will be healed. And this is what happened. Jesus said to him, rise up. Rise up, stand on your feet and walk. And walk with me to Jerusalem. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. He took up his bed, and he walked on the same day. It was the Sabbath day. It was the day of rest from this man. A day of rest from his pain and his troubles. How wonderful it was in this way. And so it is as we move along in this direction. We see that there are wonderful pictures. We see that Jesus was a healer. We go through this gallery of pictures, and we see that Jesus was constantly healing. And he was healing then, and he heals now if we allow him to touch us. Jesus went to the lepers. Jesus went to the centurion to his servant to heal him. And we know that Jesus never gives up on us. That's the beautiful thing about Jesus. You can walk away from Jesus, but he will never walk away from you. If there's any separation in the fellowship, it's because you or me have walked away. Jesus never walks away from anybody. And so it was with this man that Jesus had an eye on him all the time. Not in his presence, but Jesus knew where he was. Jesus knew where he was, and he wasn't finished with the man. And so we read later on in this chapter, he said, and he that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, and a multitude had been in that place. And afterwards Jesus findeth this man in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Isn't it a wonderful life, my friend? Now you can walk, you can be a part of another world that you've never been part of. Isn't it wonderful that you can walk? And Jesus' voice, the man and Jesus just hug each other. And it was so great to be in this situation. And so Jesus said, but. And that is the word in our lives. You are following Jesus, but. And Jesus said, but, in this way. Behold, thou art whole, then sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto you. You have been healed, you have risen, you walk. Just be careful from now on that you don't fall again, so you become a cripple again spiritually, and somebody, you have to wait till somebody can help you. Now you notice in this gallery of pictures, brothers and sisters, and I may be wrong, it wouldn't be the first time, There's a picture missing from the Gospel of John. What is it? Anybody tell me what the picture is? There's a picture missing, which is very important to parents, especially at this time. And we find that the picture is not in this gallery, but we have to go down the street to another gallery. And when we go down there, we'll see that it is the gallery and the painting of a man called Luke. And in Luke's Gospel there, we see the missing picture. But I feel I can never understand why John didn't paint it. Maybe he thought he'd leave it to others to be important that way. The missing picture is in this Luke 18 and verse 15. We'll find it right here in this here. Okay, verse 40. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. And then, an unusual situation in those days. And then they brought the little babies or the children or the young people to Jesus. And the disciples said, because they were not thinking, they had forgotten the voice of Jesus. They said, take the children away. Don't bother the master at this time. He's got more important things to do. And Jesus said, you don't tell me to do that. That child with his mother is important to me as the man in the crowd. And they brought unto him also infants or baby that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. And so you parents must remember this as we try to the And the more a credit to my wife and myself, that you should give attention to your children at a young age, to let them know there is a Jesus, the Christ. The conversation in your house should have the presence of the name of Jesus. And when your children go to bed, they should kneel by the bed and they should pray and talk to the God in heaven and thank him that there is a Jesus, the Christ. And that Jesus is taking care of their parents and taking care of them in the slippery days of their youth. The world that we have in regarding to the young people is a terrible, terrible situation. We listened to the news last night and there was a record of all the young people that had died, thousands died because of the stupidity of taking the drugs of this world and being lost in the fog of this world. How stupid they can be. They sacrificed their lives in their youth for some supposed high, as they call it. And you young people who have been baptized and you young people of a teenage age should remember this, that Jesus wants you to carry his voice into your youth group and tell them, don't do these things. Walk with Jesus. And Jesus will give you a better life than you've ever known before. And so it is in this particular way, my friend, my brethren. I appeal to you, you mothers and fathers, to do this. Because things will not get easier, but they will get more difficult. And so before we leave the gallery of the Gospel of John, I just want to go to one more, because we've all been a part of this. We've all had the difficulties in this direction. We've all maybe questioned what Jesus is telling us. Where was the favorite house that Jesus would like to go to? There's certain houses you feel comfortable in. You visit people and you feel comfortable and suddenly you realize that 2 or 3 hours have gone because you're enjoying the company of the people. And that is the situation with Jesus. Jesus loved to go into homes of people. And he went into the house of Mary and Martha. He spent a lot of time there. But it was a difficult thing because there was the flavor of death there at this time. Jesus loved Lazarus. Jesus loved Martha. Jesus loved Mary because they were his friends. And they helped him and they clung to him and they walked with him. And so we remember, do we not, that the shadow of death was there. The shadow of death has been in my home. I didn't lose my mother and father, but they died, and my 2 sisters died. And I'm not the only one. Each one of you have felt the shadow of death fall upon you. Each one of you have known the hand of death that rests upon you. In the void, there is a quote in the scripture, when Jesus said, it's recorded that Jesus said, the voice of Jesus will be heard beyond the graves. Remember, see, the power of this man, the power of his voice would reach out and it would go beyond the graves and there would be, for some, the newness of life. And so it is, my brothers and sisters, we can go to many, many pictures, but we remember that when Jesus said, well, where's Lazarus buried? Where's Lazarus buried? And said, well, why don't you come and see Jesus? And they went there, and Jesus said, well, Mary, is this where your brother's buried? She said, yes. He said, well, what's going to happen? And he said, well, we got to move the stone so that Jesus can go in and touch Lazarus. And so Jesus said, man, well, you move the stone. He's telling this woman to move the stone. So all things are possible for all people. Get rid of the obstacle. Get rid of the rock. Get rid of the stone. And you'll see the resurrection. And you'll see your brother come alive. Just move the stone. Just move the stone. And you'll know what resurrection is all about. And so did my brother says in this way. We remember, do we not, that at the conclusion of all this, Jesus going up to Jerusalem. And so we remember, do we not, that when later on Jesus says, when he's discussing with them, There was a question of they couldn't handle what he was saying. They didn't like the voice of Jesus. They couldn't understand the voice of Jesus. And so we're told that some went away. And so Jesus said to them, he didn't say them to me. He didn't say it to them. He said it to me. And he says, Brother Mac, will you go away? And Brother Mac, at this stage of his life, is able to say, Lord, where can I go? Where can I go, Lord? Where can I go for a better life than this? I've almost come to the end of this journey. Where do I go from here? And that's what I said, Lord, to whom shall I go? To whom, Lord, shall I go? Lord, thou hast the voice of eternal life. And so it was, we remember, do we not? The only sad situation that I placed myself is on the occasion when Jesus was in another house and the brethren were situated there, as we remember, do we not? They were situated there with Jesus. And there's a question what the future which would be for them. And there was a man came in, and his name was Thomas. And he said, there were after 8 days, 8 days symbolic of a new beginning. Jesus is now resurrected. And after 8 days, again his disciples were with him and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut and now stood open. The doors were open to a new life. Peace be unto you, my brethren. And then said Thomas. And then said Brother Mac, you question me, Thomas, that I am the resurrection and the life? I want you to do this. I want you to do this little act. Reach into my side. Reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand. And thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said, you are my Lord. You are the one with your God. So we know in this way. So when, brothers and sisters, I want you to perform a little exercise. When you partake of the bread and wine, I want you to reach into the side of Jesus. That's where the sword was thrust. I want you to reach into the side of the body of Jesus. And you will feel the warmth of the blood and the water of a newness of life. And then look to Jesus again and say, Jesus, I am your friend.